Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business. It's Russ and Greg with you. Greg, how's it going?
It's going well. How about yourself?
Oh, it's going great. So when we record this, you know, like we run these episodes, of course, a little bit later than when we record them. But when we record this, we just had the time change. And I love this time change. So I'm excited because I'm actually going to see, like, you know, daylight for longer in the evening. So
I was going to say.
I'm all chipper right now. Even though it's, like, you know, there's a change longer in the morning.
Yeah. I don't like losing the hour of sleep, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's always rough.
It'll be a rough adjustment week, but it's worth it for that extra time in the evening. Go play pickleball or something.
Well, it's funny you say that, right? We are going to be going and playing pickleball in a tournament of all things.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know if that hour loss of sleep is going to cost me on the court or not, but
Might. Who knows? Maybe it'll help. Who knows?
We'll see. But for anybody that wants to kind of hear what's happening on the pickleball side, go to Third Shot Podcast because we are going to be broadcasting live from the tournament. So check it out.
Yeah. So I guess this podcast is running the day that is happening, right? Like, so.
Yes.
Okay. So maybe we'll have to put some links over to all the live stuff that we're doing. So we're both actually going to be together. We're never together, but we're going to be together in the same room, or I guess in the same, I don't know, beautiful Lake Las Vegas.
It's going to be fun.
It'll be cool.
So that has been consuming a lot of my time, is thinking about this tournament, getting my body ready, trying to get some practice in. But, you know, it's been really a challenge with the weather and all. But the other thing that's been occupying my time is because it is spring and the school year is kind of coming to an end, right? We're a couple months away from the school year ending. I got two daughters in college. One of them is graduating law school. And one of them is a junior undergraduate. Both daughters are really seriously thinking about their careers right now. And they've been asking me a lot of questions and, like, how they should prepare. And for the younger daughter that's an undergraduate, she's talking to me about, you know, internships and what type of company she should intern with. And does it matter? Should she go to graduate school? My oldest daughter, who's, you know, a couple months away from taking the bar exam, is thinking about what type of law she should go into. She should do private. She go, you know, big law. A lot of questions right now. Mm-hmm. And it's so exciting because I get to kind of relive, you know, my early 20s through their eyes. But then, you know, I'm in my 50s now, so I have a little more experience and a little more guidance, a little more knowledge to share. It's fun. I love this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's totally exciting. Well, I didn't tell you, my daughter got her first job too. Like, just, you know, like her first, you know, like a juice bar type of thing. And it's like, it's, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I'm reliving my teens. So we're both going back.
I did notice the acne. So the acne is popping up a little bit. I don't know why, but now I get it. Now I understand.
Well, you know, it happens. What are you going to do?
Well, I think, you know, in talking to my daughters, you know, I have a certain lens, right? Obviously, I'm a dad, I'm a businessman, entrepreneur, and all this, but I am a guy. And mm-hmm. I think there are probably some topics that are very specific to women. And I wanted to give them some knowledge from that point of view as well. And luckily, we have somebody with us today that is going to help us with that.
Yeah, Vicky Helm. Vicky, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for letting me on and having fun with you guys today. It's going to be a great conversation, and I can't wait to nerd out on the topic.
I love that. Well, we should probably talk right about your book right away and discuss that. So tell us a little about your background and what brought you here today for this topic.
What brought me here was, I'm not always going to say my scheduler, but instead what I want to say is what brought me here is that I want to be out front in as many ways as possible for women starting their careers or deciding what to do, or, you know, what we're doing right now is redefining the role of women in business. And we're just really typically redefining roles, full stop. So I got my start. I had my first business at 10 years old, which, you know, doesn't usually happen for everyone. But I did. I started my business at 10, and then I had another business at 15. Then I had one at 18. Then I had realized I went to college because I was in the generation where not all families had a woman who had graduated college. And so out of the 7 kids that were in my family, I'm currently the only college graduate, but there was a little bit of pressure to go and get this corporate job and do the corporate thing for a while. And so I did it for 5 years, and I was just miserable at that, just miserable. And back then, women didn't have the opportunities they have now. I mean, we're talking just 20 years ago, and 20 years ago when, you know, you were passed over just simply because you could become pregnant or because a man needed, there were all sorts of stereotypes that are dissolving right now. And that's really what I want to talk about when I talk about redefining women in business, is redefining the roles, redefining the promises of having a career, redefining how you approach building your career and what to do in those spots where sometimes some of these old myths jump out and try to bite you in the butt as you're growing your career. And what a proud making thing that you have a daughter that's, you know, just a couple of months away from taking the bar, wow, that's a great thing. And now what?
Right, you know. Right. That's what she's coming to me with is now what? Now, she does have a contract with a company that she interned with previously that is going to carry her from the time that she takes the bar until she gets the results. They already contracted her out, so she's got that taken care of. Cool. But after that, it's game on, right? It's like, where am I going to go from there? Yeah. And that's what she's coming to me with. And we're having those conversations right now. What advice would you give somebody in that situation?
You know, Greg, whether you're a man or a woman, if you're just out of college, the thing that's going to be the determining factor is that the experience required isn't necessarily job or career experience, but you just need to be out in the workforce so that you get and understand the game and how to play it. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. It's that kind of, you know, sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug mentality. But you want to be able to see what I would call the consciousness of the workforce at that time. The other thing is, it's a great place to find mentors, both male and female mentors. And a mentor isn't somebody that you have to really get a contract with. You're my mentor. It's somebody that you observe, that you can gather their skill sets for free by watching them do their task or watching them, you know, at their best, and then saying, oh, that's a great idea, or that's a great system, or and you take all those leadership traits on. And to me, it's like whether you're hustling and grinding at sales, or you're out there and you're in a law practice delivering and you're, you know, not a senior partner yet, there's this learning curve that can be somewhere between 2 and 5 years of that career. And I think everybody needs that. And that to me is the first step in gathering experiences, making connections, and networking with people you want to go. It's laying the foundation that's going to carry you for several careers or several opportunities is what I like to say.
I love the whole, mentorship thing. Like I find myself, I don't know how many decades I'm into my career, but I still find myself utilizing the first person that became a mentor back in, Samantha Spivak. I don't know if I've ever said her name on the show, but she like was just amazing. Like she helped me through so much stuff early on and sort of, like you were saying, the game, the game that you win and lose. And she taught me so much about that of how really it's not about keeping scores. Stuff just changes all the time. I remember her saying that. It's like, it's a game, but you're not keeping score. Like it's always changing and it's always, you can win at any moment and lose at any moment. So,
Yeah. And there's such an array of talent out there right now. And my mentors, I call them advisors now. I just have still now 18 companies later, and I have a list of advisors that I follow, that I read, that I do, because it's always shifting. The consciousness of business is always shifting. So what I mean by that is just, 5 years ago, everybody worked at the office, and now that remote working is in the consciousness of the workspace so much that I don't think we'll ever go back to everybody has to be at the place they work at. There's going to be a lot of remote employees everywhere. And so with that, you have to learn and see and watch the future and where it's going so you can unpack your best opportunities. And opportunities aren't something now that's sought by, I have a degree and I have an education and now all these opportunities unfold in front of me. You have to be present in the moment, really mindful of the day, and opportunities show up moment to moment to moment to moment. And it's how you engage with them that is redefining what your career is going to be in the future. There's not like some steadfast path. We have robotics and AI that are really coming on the work scene. So that means some of the things that you might have thought were opportunities are going to just evaporate into thin air. And some opportunities that aren't even here yet on the planet as a career could open up for you that are so satisfying and so fulfilling that you don't want to do anything else. And they're just not here yet. And so that paying attention, that's what having your career does. And if you get stuck in an industry, and so what I mean by that is I do retail and that's all I do, or I do law and that's all I do is law. That's an industry. Once you get stuck in the industry, you may lose your peripheral vision of opportunities. And that's what you do not want to lose, is those peripheral opportunities, because AI is going to change the practice of law and even title. It's doing it now. It's shrinking. It's just like surgeons or being at the hospital. Robotics is taking over these jobs that you're, hundreds of thousand dollars in debt. And if you're like, I'm only surgery, and you put those blinders on, your peripheral opportunities will evaporate in front of you, and you'll start getting caught or feel stuck or not know what to do. And there has to be that flexibility and openness for you to achieve the opportunities that are out there right now.
Yeah. It's funny how many times it's changed over like my career. When I'm thinking about like my life cycle, about how much stuff has changed from like early on to now. I don't know. There's been like 3 or 4 waves of big change. Let's get into that. Talk about that a little bit. And we'll be right back. More DIY for Business. Thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business. It's Russ and Greg with you. If you haven't done the whole, rate the podcast thing, you're missing out. All the cool people are doing it. So,
we could actually change that. All the cool people are giving us 5.
There you go. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Get the in the cool 5-star club. That's what we should call it. The 5-star club. Yeah.
You know, they go less.
We got to market this thing, man. You know, what's funny is we've actually said that a bunch, the whole 5-star thing. I don't think we've received a review under 5 stars. Now, is that because the show is good or is that because we're telling people to do it? I don't know. We'll have to figure that out.
I don't know either, but I don't. Yeah. I hope you just didn't jinx us.
I know, right? Oh, man. We'll get our first 4-star after this. Shoot. So, Vicky, you're talking about, you know, like the change of like the rise of like, you know, all these AIs, the chat GPT and all these things that are coming along to just take over and make big change. You know, the first big so I mentioned my career, like the first big thing for me was I was working in radio and they deregulated radio. So there was a big, huge change there of like, oh, shoot. Okay. Well, now instead of one owner for 20 stations or whatever it was, 12 stations, I think it was. Now we've got, you know, iHeartRadio and Clear Channel, like, you know, like that taking over 1,200 radio stations. So it completely changed. There was a week and where I got my name, you know, my name was always the same on the paycheck, but the owner, the people paying me was different. And that was 1 week. To the next week, it was different. The next week, it was 6 weeks of just different names coming on my, so bought and sold and all this craziness. So I went through that. And then of course, you know, the whole just .com revolution, you know, going through, like, I started an entertainment company. I was running that. And then, you know, 9/11 happened and all of a sudden, like, nobody's going to do events. So, you know, that went away for, you know, a while. So I shifted, you know, from corporate events to like weddings, and I did that for a while. It's like there's been so many things where I've had to just be agile and make a big, huge change and shift to either economic conditions or, you know, whatever, you know, I mean, let's go ahead and throw in the pandemic in there. Like all the different changes and this, you know, agility that you have to have. It's not easy to adapt to these situations, and it's not easy to figure out the next path. Is there any like challenges specific to like women that are different with this versus men? Because I need to prep my daughter, as does Greg. He needs to prep his daughters as far as what to expect when they're out there, and notes on how to be super agile in business.
This is such an important question you asked. I mean, it is so important because even right now, we're looking at workers and businesses that have underemployment, and they want to have more workers. And so one of the perks they're offering, one of the biggest perks in corporate world right now that's being offered, is childcare at work so that the mom is closer to, you know, their children. And one of the interesting things that I just read that is from Shark Tank's, you know, Mr. Wonderful. And he was talking about his top 10 companies and that they're all run by women and they're all run by women CEOs. And part of that attraction of having women is that the perspective is switching. So we're looking at this big perspective switching that's happening in the world. And for me, there are two things that have to happen. Women in economically need to come up and rise up to the same pay as men. And women need to rise up into the roles that have been dominated by males. And inside that, what we have is, instead of having a role differentiator, we suddenly have a partnership in perspective that allows a form of creativity that isn't readily available right now to be here. And so companies and careers are looking for the kind of talent where, what do I need to provide these women in order to get them to step into leadership roles? Now, I want to be really clear here. I am not one of those women who think women have been knocked out of leadership positions. I understand that. But I also understand that there are a boatload of women out there who will not take leadership positions because they have the leadership position in their home. And they think that is the leadership position and I'm the secondary income supplier. That's the number one thing that is changing as husband and wives start seeing careers as a partnership and the picking up and caretaking of kids and the raising of them to be something that they do together. The clear change is dads are sick and tired of being the workhorse that goes out and does this work and work and work. And I miss the ball game and I miss the play and I miss the thing, but my family has everything they need. And they take pride in that, having everything they need, but they're missing out on all the reward they should be getting. And so what's happening is the partnership in corporations between husband and wife are going to start evening out a little bit. There's going to be more childcare offered as a perk in these businesses. Women are going to stop seeing their careers as a secondary income and are going to start seeing it as a primary income. So they have two primary incomes, not a primary income earner and a secondary income earner. It's going to be that there is going to be more focus on the family, so to speak, where they can have after school things happen at their job and then go home. Now, for those couples who are entrepreneurial and they are working together and they own a business together, whether it's an online business or a coffee shop together, whatever else. One of the things that is going to be taken into consideration is all roles that are home roles are going to probably be outsourced. Most of them are going to be like, HelloFresh is where your meals are coming from. And here is, you know, the landscaper who takes care of all the yard work. And then the housekeeper comes in and does this. And I want to say something that I just heard the other day from Grant Cardone's wife, Elena Cardone, who I absolutely really admire. Her role is not secondary. It's definitely primary in the relationship, but it's behind the scenes. And she said something that struck me about couples that are working together, because these power couples that are owning their business together, that's going to be part of the future. Women, pick your mates really smart. Get somebody who wants to play the game with you, not you play the game for them. Just be really smart about that. And so what happens is she said, you know, I give 100% of myself to this relationship and this company. And then Grant gives 100% to this relationship and company. And that's not a 50-50 proposition. When two people give 100%, it's 200%. It's 100% from me and 100% from them. And that's how we win. And I was like, yes, you want a partner that is going to be 100%, 100%. 50-50 is out right now because there's too much transformation.
That is such good advice. Being a father of two daughters, I love what you just said. I didn't mean to interrupt. Did you have something else wanted to?
No, I want to hear what you have to say, actually.
They're at the age where, you know, they have boyfriends that, you know, they've been dating for a while, all of this. And, you know, choosing your mate. That's what, you know, made my ears perk up. And you're saying choose your mate wisely because, you know, they need to really buy into the vision of the future of the family, right? Whether it's 100%, 100%. And I just wonder, that on paper is perfect. Mm-hmm. But when emotions get involved, right, that's where it gets really sticky and tricky because you go, oh, but, you know, he does this really well, but maybe, I don't know. This is not my daughters now, but, you know, out there, some guys are not as motivated or, you know, they don't want to do
right now.
Yeah. So what do you do? Like, if you're talking about picking your mate and trying to think about the future, where do you factor in kind of the emotion side of it versus the, you know, the business, you know, the how do we raise our family like a business? How do we run a business together? How do you weigh all that?
Thank you for that. That's such an important question. I can speak from my own experience. I will tell you this. Nothing will ruin your wealth. Nothing will ruin your wealth more than a divorce will. A divorce, when there's a divorce, it kicks your butt, and it kicks your butt in every area, health, wealth, and relationships. You lose all the friends, you lose all the connections, so much money drains, and there's a point where you have to rebuild. So if you can choose your relationship well, really choose it well, the first thing that is going to be the biggest, most evident part of are you going to win or not in that future, and that is the design of it. So, for example, in my relationship, it is really important that there is willingness, full stop. Not I'm willing to, just willingness to see somebody else's perspective, willingness to pivot when you need to, willingness to grow up and change when you need to grow up and change, willingness to see past the mask of somebody up front when you're dating and they look hot and you're like, he's so handsome or she's so hot, and you're so into the Eros part of it. But later, if you can, you know, look at, does this person want to listen to me, or am I trying to force this person to listen to me? If you have to force them, even in the first, second, third year, then it's going to be less available as the relationship goes on. If somebody's willing to talk to you, there's pretty much the ability to use his genius and your genius to solve problems together. If you get to the point where it's only his genius that applies, you are not in a healthy relationship. And eventually, because you're already a go-getter as a woman, you're going to become unhappy, resentful, and bitter over a period of time because you're not being listened to or not being heard. So the first thing is your communication skills. The second thing you want to look at is, how do you two spend money? How do you two save up money? How do you think about money? Do you have a lot of poverty mentality? Do you have a lot of materialism mentality? Do you have a lot of spenders mentality or savers mentality? And how do you think about work and the beyond work life? How do you think about your work life? Are you a person who vacations a lot and you like to go on vacations? Or do you like to work a lot? Or are you just like, we're just skating by, we're going to do the minimum because I want to go out and bike ride and blah, 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 blah. Because that's going to tell you the type of business that you both can thrive in. If you don't have that in place, if you're just like, hey, let's start this, they say it makes money, let's make some money, you could be miserable and it'll usually fail. But if you get something that you say, well, I'd rather be a digital nomad, and this is what I would like to do as a digital nomad, and you both know that up front, then your survival rate just goes up. And right now, we have so many things that even 20 years ago, a new marriage has to help its best strengths, to help its best strengths. So in other words, Russ was talking earlier that he was a DJ, right? I mean, he was a disc jockey and the professional radio stations. He was there when the industry just condensed and condensed.
Collapsed.
And okay, I was trying to be polite. He saw that happening. So he saw that he had to make a pivot in the career. And who would have guessed podcasting was going to be such a big hit,
right?
Where all these people, now you build your own show. Well, now as a married couple, you can imagine starting out building your dream life, understanding willingness and valuing. This is women everywhere. I'm just listening to, I just, this one thing, they have to value you, not just that you're hot or sexy or smart, but value your opinion, value what you value, and value the gem about you that you are, the things that you provide, other than the ability to be a mom, the things that they value about you. If you find somebody stuck in the old paradigm, you'll end up in a divorce. If you work with somebody to build this new paradigm, relationship, career, life, family, building a life you love together, you'll succeed. And every woman has to know it's not about roles anymore. It's about partnership. It's not, I'm the wife, I do this. I'm the man, I do this. It's partnership. And you design your life together and then build it out together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when I was the wedding DJ years of like, you know, just like, my company, you know, we did hundreds of weddings each year because I had multiple setups, multiple people going out. And, the advice that I would always give when people would say, well, what else do we need to think about? And I'm like, every day after this, just a day. Think about every day after this, because the wedding's going to come and go, but you guys are going to be together forever. And the way that you're going to be together forever is to think about it now and plan for it. So there's my wedding DJ advice. all right. We'll be back with more DIY for Business. Just a sec. Thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business. It's Russ and Greg with you. We're talking with Vicki Helm about redefining women in business. And we've had such a great talk here. I mean, it's funny, like I know I've said this like over and over and over again, but it still surprises me how much just when you talk about your business life or your relationship with your business, it's exactly like talking about your relationship with any other person, you know, or your spouse or whatever. It's like, it's the same sort of feelings and things that you've got to think about and just the planning that goes into it, the thought that goes into it. And, you know, like you said it earlier, you know, that there's nothing that could break you more than a divorce. Well, also like, you know, having to shut down your business, that's a big cost. So as much planning as you can do in advance and just figuring out all the financial issues, all of the, you know, when you talked about incompatibility with, you know, different things, different feelings and different, you know, ideas within that. It's also like, are you compatible with the industry that you're getting into? Are you compatible? Like, is it going to be compatible with your lifestyle? There's so many things that you've got to think about when starting up a business. It's just the same stuff that when starting up a marriage. It's just funny to me. It's not a question. It's more of just a statement of how I always realize that in the show, like how much similar those things are, or how similar those things are.
Yeah, actually, I have a jump off. That is a question. When you're talking about compatibility, and in the case of my two daughters, they're not thinking about going into business for themselves. They want to go work for a company. And I'm wondering how much do you consider leadership within that organization that they want thought leaders coming from women? Because there are some, you know, businesses that I know that still try to suppress that. And, you know, they want their leadership coming from men. And like, I don't know, how do you identify that when you're in the interviewing process or you're doing the research of which companies you want to go work for, but how do you figure that out? And like, how much should that weigh into your decision, especially in your first or second job coming out of college?
Thank you. I mean, that depends on the goals of the woman that's there. So I'm super driven, and I was very much about women in leadership. So I wanted to work for women leaders. I work for both men leaders and women leaders. And I think that what's happening right now is that the role models for women leaders is huge right now. It's huge. And the question is, what kind of woman leader do you want to be? So what I mean by that is, if you take a look at Sarah Blakely, you know, she's one of those startup founders who bootstrapped everything and, you know, sold for $1 billion, and her husband and her worked together at doing the Spanx business. And she has a family, and she is absolutely, you know, at the beginning of her career and built the company and had a family, et cetera. Then there's the woman who's the encorepreneur. So she's already had a career and she's in her 40s and 50s going, you know, I want to start my own gig. And when I want to start my own gig, they've already been mentored by men and women, et cetera. But in that area, there's a lot of old school mentoring that may not apply in this current world. So it depends on where they are at the beginning or the end of their career and where they want to step into. It also depends on whether they want to have a partnership in business with their husband, like Sarah Blakely does, or they want to have their own gig and she wants to run her own gig and he's, you know, retired or does whatever he does for a living. But there, that all depends on what your vision or what your view is. The way, what I think is critical about the future, what I think is very critical for CEOs and for anyone starting out right now, I don't care if you're an encorepreneur or you're a career starting woman, what you want to build is a line of credibility that produces an audience that follows you. In other words, whether it's a network audience or an audience like you're building here, the audience that you surround yourself is going to either help you gather your career, sell your products, get your message out. And so we used to have conferences that were very industry specific. So what I mean is, like, you know, the National Bar Association's yearly conference, and it's probably still around. But truthfully, there are other conferences like South by Southwest or 10X, Grant Cardone's growth conferences, where you meet a plethora of individuals that have minds that are built around building and creating the future. And all of these areas are where you can find opportunities to shift to if what you're doing is, you know, or you don't know what to do. But if what you're doing is like, oh, God, I hate what I'm doing. I really need something else to do. You can automatically go there and find some ideas and make some connections. But the circle around you, the audience around you, the talent around you is an asset. So for instance, if I say I have access to this person, this person, this person, this person, this person, if you have access to these people's or companies or things, that is something on a resume that is going to bump you up into a position that is a little more fulfilling or a little more flexible and creative for you. Access isn't now just access because of degree. Access is because of influence and credibility and key connections, et cetera. So when I work with a client, I'm saying, okay, I'll work with a client. You have no endorsements. Well, I can get you an endorsement on your book from John Assaraf, Joe Vitale, or whatever else. As soon as I have that, I'm now the person that they're going to pick because they don't have this access. Is part of the thing that's being created in any business that you're doing, in anything you're doing. And you want to make sure that the access that you create on your profiles, wherever you are, LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever social media, Instagram, are those that are going to be beneficial to you long-term as a career builder, as a life builder, you know, and you want to nurture those relationships into friendships. It sounds crazy right now, but the biggest asset is access to groups of people.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, I feel like it's so much easier to expand those groups now. With, you know, like things like LinkedIn and yeah, it's so cool. Like when I'm, you know, like right now I'm just, you know, trying to, you know, book people for podcasts, trying to find interesting topics and all, and going through LinkedIn and seeing like, oh, this is a second connection, you know, this is a third, you know, connection. And now I can just reach out to them. Oh, you know, we both know Greg, you know, or we both know this person.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to be able to do that. And then, you know, add on top of that, the networking at some of these events.
Deeper with that. I don't want to leave what you just said. It's so important. I have a part of my business where I sell visibility. So if you don't have enough visibility, I have the visibility and that's what I sell. And that's the beauty of having that. It's the creating right. the asset. If you're a new author, if you're a new speaker, if you're a new show, a new podcast, what do you want? You want visibility and yeah. access to audiences. That is literally a business in and of itself. It's actually what mm-hmm. you're creating. Right now, we're on your podcast, right? So we're talking to your audience and you're providing me visibility to them. They're now listening right. and hearing me for the first time. Yeah. They know I write books, blah, blah, blah. So that visibility, that is a product. We often don't treat that as a product, but it's a product in every industry and every career. Mm-hmm. Any CEO, any C-suite person, any person who owns a business, visibility is the number one thing that they want because that is what spreads their brand. So the way I do it is literally I write books because that gives me visibility. I have a show and I'm on different shows because that gives me visibility. My email list, visibility. That's all I do is build and sell visibility. Mm-hmm. I own a couple of news stations and things like that so that I have global visibility and local visibility. Nice. So I have this as the whole thing. If you want to start building the strongest asset that is going to carry you, to me, grow a farm that has organic food and then grow your visibility, grow your network into such a place that you have to drop value to. It's not about like, hey, I'm Vicky and I know you and you know me. There has to be an exquisite amount of transparency and value in order to make these relationships assets. But right. your relationship assets and the visibility that you can provide is what people pay $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 for.
Right. Right. And hustle in there. You know, like I've seen there's so many people that they don't have that. And that's where they fall down. They might have a nice network, but they don't do anything with it.
That's right.
Like, that's right. You know, be interactive with folks.
Absolutely.
Hey, so Vicky, if somebody wanted to reach out to you, you've got several books. We mentioned the She Myth earlier, mm-hmm. Redefining Women in Business, but you've got several other books. You've got the podcast. Somebody wanted to reach out to you. How do they do so?
VickiHelm.com. It's spelled V-I-C-K-I-E Helm, H-E-L-M.com. That's it.
Perfect. And they can link up with you on all the socials as well. See, yeah, there you go.
All the socials.
Expand their network. Expand your network.
Yeah.
And get some valuable guidance. I think, you know, Vicky is going to steer you in the right direction. I think she's given us fantastic advice today. And I think when you meet with her one-on-one, you know, it's going to be something that is going to be worth your time. So please reach out to Vicky.
It's always funny on these podcasts. Sometimes you just see Greg and I, like we're just sitting back in our chairs and listening because we're taking it all in. And today was one of those days. So thank you, Vicky, for giving us some great advice.
I was nodding yes. I mean, the whole way.
Exactly.
I was so aligned with what you were saying. And
yeah.
So valuable.
I mean, I'm just taking it all in. I loved it.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. And thank you for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business. Oh yeah, and reviewing DIY for Business. You could do that on any of the apps that you're listening on right now. I love Podbean. I don't know. That's one of my faves. If you're over on Podbean, you know, give us a little extra there because that's a fun one for me. Hey, the subjects that we cover on this podcast are selected with the goal of helping your business grow, and all of the information provided is opinion-based, and you might want to consult a professional to discuss your exact business situation. Greg and I want your company to succeed, and we're happy to take your questions. We'd love to hear your suggestions on future episodes as well. If there's an area of your business where you want to get some specific advice or you're just unsure, whatever it is, reach out to us and we can build an entire show around it and get your questions answered. You can reach out to us by sending us some, you know, messages on social, like we were talking about there, friend us on LinkedIn, or head over to our website, DIYForBusinessPodcast.com. We thank you again for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business, where you are not alone.
Electricast. Hey gang, I'm Nikki LaCroce, host of Who the Fuck, a show that explores the power of human connection and the profound resilience of the human spirit through compassionate conversations that help you better understand yourself so you can live with the sense of peace, purpose, and joy that you deserve. Each episode offers a safe space for guests to share intimate details of their personal journey and lessons learned along the way as we all seek to answer life's most important question. Who the fuck am I?
Hi, I'm Gina Ann, your tour guide to Adventures to Wisdom podcast. What if you could get answers to your deepest question, reawaken your sense of purpose, and enhance your zest for connections and play? This is what we do on Adventures to Wisdom podcast with real people, and we're inviting you to come with us. We bring you unscripted, raw, inspirational stories, ideas, and intuitive insights.
Electricast.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.